First comes from John, Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. This is God's Word. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. You may be seated.
Indeed. May God again add his blessing to that fine reading of the Holy Book. Nothing is too difficult for God. Resurrection faith conquers all things, including sin and death. Before looking at the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, do we pray, work in our hearts this evening, as it is still the Lord's Day, and it's still our privilege and our responsibility, even our duty, to be good stewards of this time. We praise you for this amazing text with so many gems found therein. Help us to embrace the great gem, Jesus, the pearl of great price. And may we love him indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as per Matthew 23:4, we need faith in the good shepherd, as these dear ladies had to indeed have that need as well. When we face dark and dangerous conditions, we need faith that God is not only with us, but that he has a purpose behind our sufferings and afflictions. Mary and Martha, the sisters of the recently deceased Lazarus, were traversing sorrowful and grievous ground, but onto their turf came the Lord Jesus Christ, and up from their hearts ascended true resurrection faith. Resurrection faith is faith that believes that God in Christ can do anything. It is faith that is not daunted even by death itself. Therefore, our goal this evening is to trust in the risen Savior in the darkest times, knowing that he can do all things. With this in mind, look with me at John 11:17-27. The wonder of resurrection faith. Resurrection faith never quits, even in the face of death. Verses 17-22. After all, if our faith wasn't any better than that, what more hope do we have than anyone else in the world? A Muslim, a Hindu, a Mormon, a Buddhist? What would we have that they don't have? The distinguishing characteristic of true faith is perseverance. False faith falls away, leaves the Lord, his church, and vows. True faith doesn't do that. It perseveres, even through hard times. It's not easy, but it does persevere. It's evidence that you're genuine. Even as the hymn put it, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he will not, he will never, no, never forsake. Resurrection faith never quits, even in the face of death. Verses 17-20. It still seeks the Savior. So when Jesus came, he found that he, that's Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, should we draw the conclusion that Martha was somehow better, more spiritual, more with it, more together, more godly than Mary because she got up to see Jesus and Mary remained in the house? No. We should not draw that conclusion. I think that's a mistake. We can learn, however, a lot from the fact that Martha, even in her sorrow and despair, or not really despair, but her sorrow, left it all to go and greet the Master. What did she leave? Think about this with me. She left the tomb where her beloved brother lay. She left her sister, who was her closest ally. She left the mourners who had come around her house to weep and wail, some of them out of true compassion, some of them out of professional wages, which was common in those days. And she left the comforts of home in order to see the Redeemer. As mentioned last week, and is seen very clearly here in verse 17b, 4 days was beyond hope, humanly speaking, for the average Jewish person. Up till that time, the hope of resuscitation was there, but now we know that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Why did Martha go out to meet Jesus in verse 28? Because he had first, long ago, previously, met her in her need with all the wonderful benefits of salvation. So resurrection faith never quits even in the face of death. It still seeks the Savior. Verse 21, it still esteems the Savior. E-S-T-E-E-M-S, children. It means to think highly of. It esteems the Savior. Verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now those who don't persevere cease loving God when the going gets tough. Especially when it gets really bad, you lose a loved one. I mean, like, worst thing could happen. But sincere faith believers, on the other hand, say, hey, this death business is not too hard for my God. Even that. Really, it's an amazing thing she says. Martha might have said to Jesus, where were you when I needed you, as the old song goes. After all, I called for you a while ago. You could have been here earlier. Why'd you wait a while? Remember a couple weeks ago or last week we talked about that? Where he waits 2 more days. Instead, she says, you are so great that I know that if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died at all. An explanation of real faith. There are many folks in the world who become disillusioned with God somewhere along the line and give up altogether. But the real big question is this. How did Martha know this statement to be true? That if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. She knew because of what she herself had experienced from the Lord Jesus. Her own soul being raised up in newness of life. Probably secondarily having seen miracles that Christ performed, talked about them around the table with him and the disciples, Lazarus and Mary. What is our view of Jesus? Not when things are going so well for us, but when things are tough. Resurrection faith never quits, even in the face of death. It still seeks the Savior, esteems the Savior. Verse 22, it still glorifies the Savior. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now this verse is constituted as some of the most amazing words of faith found anywhere in the Holy Book. The only way for these words to make sense is to understand them as saying, it's still not too late for you, Lord. If you will ask God, he will raise my brother back to life. And the big key here is in the beginning, but even now. Have you ever felt or believed that death in your heart, your life, your marriage, your family, your workplace, wherever, was irretrievable? It's too late. Just nothing can be done about it. Well, here you have a desperate situation. I mean, the man had died. He's in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. And this woman's saying, but even now. Well, this is the God you serve. There are no hopeless cases, dears. Whatever your struggles are, even now, it's not too late. You glorify God by putting your faith in him to do the impossible things. After all, if all of our faith was just a matter of natural, if you will, getting by, kind of like everybody else does, if God didn't put these impossible deaths in our lives that he would have to transcend by supernatural resurrection faith, what do we have that's so much better than anybody else? But the Christian faith alone has this benefit because it has Jesus. The wonder of resurrection faith It never quits, even in the face of death. Now verses 23 through 27, resurrection faith never fails, even in the face of death. By not failing, what I mean is that faith wrought from God by the Holy Spirit always achieves its ends. Nothing God's grace ever inspired to be believed has ever failed to come to pass. A remarkable thing to think about. Nothing God's grace ever inspired to be believed has ever failed to come to pass. Now, there are three great pillars that sustain faith, objects of our faith. Let's look at them now. These are important, and this is kind of neat the way this text lays out. Really neat, as a matter of fact. Resurrection faith never fails even in the face of death. Verses 23 and 24, it trusts in the written prophecies of God. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Well, how did Martha know about this resurrection at the last day? I mean, you know, it's easy for us to talk because we know about the resurrection. We know about the full revelation of God in the Bible. She didn't have that. Christ himself hadn't risen from the dead yet. Well, she undoubtedly heard Jesus teach about it, perhaps as he reclined at the table in her house, enjoying fellowship with her family, the disciples there. But even more than that, Martha knew and believed the scriptures, in this case, of the Old Testament. What were some of these Old Testament prophecies regarding the resurrection of the body? Let me share with you just a few, but I emphasize this is not a comprehensive list, just three. Psalm 49:14a, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And here comes the resurrection part. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Here's another one, Isaiah 26:19. And remember, she knew these verses. I mean, she maybe didn't have them memorized, but she knew. Typical Jewish person would know these things. Isaiah 26:19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. You can understand why the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the body. They took the Old Testament seriously. And then, read earlier, Deuteronomy 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Even now, Lazarus's body is in a grave somewhere over in the Holy Land, awaiting the ultimate bodily resurrection. Do we, like Martha, believe the words of God's Holy Scripture, which assure us of the resurrection from the dead? Resurrection that faith never fails, even in the face of death. It trusts in the written prophecies of God. Now verses 25 and 26, it trusts in the gospel promises of God. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus is taking Martha's proper and fine understanding of the bodily resurrection on the last day and raising it to a new level altogether. Christ is teaching four important truths here. First, that he himself personifies the blessings of God, especially as it touches on salvation and resurrection. Verse 25a, "I am the resurrection and the life." Secondly, that Spirit-wrought faith in Christ assures the believer of the bodily resurrection. All these things are tied into this expression of Christ here in these verses. 25b, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." That has to be a reference to physical death. But he will live, or she will live, resurrection on the last day. And then thirdly, that the believer never, ever dies spiritually. Verse 26a, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Christ isn't contradicting himself. He's talking here about spiritual life. And finally, that the ultimate issue incumbent on all of us is faith. Verse 26b, "Do you believe this?" What is it that we need to see resurrected in our lives tonight. Love for God, marriage, walk of faith, sanctification in the Holy Spirit. Is there anything too hard for God? No matter what it is, bring it to the Savior humbly in prayer by faith. Lay it before Him just as Mary did here. And let us ask this question. Do we believe this? We believe this. Then great things are ours because we are believing in the person of this resurrection. Resurrection faith never fails, even in the face of death. It trusts in the written prophecies, the gospel promises, verse 27. It trusts in the messianic person from God. M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C. And children, you probably know this has to do with Jesus being the Christ, the anointed one, the one who would be promised and who would come. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, Martha's confession here is very underrated. Usually when you think of the great confessions of the Bible, the first one we usually think of is Matthew 16, Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's great, and Jesus really commends him for it. But Martha's confession is one of the most beautiful in all the Bible. Look at its components with me, three of them. There is an exuberant affirmation. "Yes, Lord." I mean, here she just lost this dear, beloved brother. And she says to him, "Yes, Lord." There's the saving, God-honoring affirmation. "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." And there's this practical affirmation. This is kind of neat, too. "Who has come into the world." In other words, rather than just stayed up in heaven, sort of distant from us and not related to us, but has actually come down here. Now listen, what is it that troubles us? God may allow it to trouble us for the rest of our lives. That's fine. If that's His will, no problem. But what is it that is death in us? God may allow it to remain a while, weeks, months, years, decade or so, or maybe all the rest of our life. That's fine. But maybe not. Should we not bring it to Him? Perhaps He will do an amazing thing that maybe He hasn't done because we simply haven't asked Him. Do we trust Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of our sins? Then can we not trust Him for much lesser things, like the resurrection of dead things in our lives? Your faith will not fail, dears. I cannot guarantee that God will answer your prayers in the way that you wish. That's fine. He's God. But you have access to Him, and you should ask Him. Martha and Mary could have said, it's just hopeless. Forget it. No, they didn't do that. Christ was not under any compulsion to raise Lazarus from the dead. He might not raise your problem from the dead, but He might. And if it brings Him glory and you good, He will. So don't be afraid to ask Him. Remember, too, it's all Christ. Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The wonder of resurrection faith is that it never quits. And it's not just because we're so dogged and bulldog and so good. And no, it's the work of the Spirit in us. And it never fails. It never fails. Let us pray and thank God for this. Father, thank you for this amazing text of Holy Scripture here tonight. And for the faith that we have in the written Word of God, the faith we have in the gospel promises, faith we have ultimately in the messianic person. Thank you for Martha's tremendous example, and we pray that we also would be bold and ask you for things and trust you and lay our burdens at your feet. Now, Father, bless your saints as they continue to worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.